This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
One of my earliest memories of having a desperate longing for something was while traveling on a family holiday to Portugal. It was probably my first time on a plane. I was quite little, and it was really exciting. Like, my whole family was there, and off we went on holiday. It was great. So we landed at the airport, and it was just, I remember it being absolutely baking hot, just like overwhelmingly hot for little Alex. We got in the car, and we started our journey to where we were staying, and for me, this took just a really long time. I just remember it taking forever to get there. I looked it up this week. It was only about an hour that was the journey. But for me, it took for absolutely forever. And I think, and the reason was, is somewhere along the way, it got a bit too much for little Alex. And I was just overwhelmingly hot. I was desperate to get out of the car and cool off. Wasn't very happy. When we arrived, I got out of the car and I was greeted by one of the most beautiful sights that I could have seen, and in that moment, the swimming pool. Okay? So before anyone else could say anything, I started stripping off my clothes down to my underwear, and splash, I was in the pool. You know that relief moment in a hot climate when you get a cool shower or dip in the pool or into the sea? It's just like, oh, yes, I needed that. A couple of years later, actually, we returned to the same place, but this time, I was ready, all right? I was sat on the plane, and my grandfather, of course, asking me, you know, why was I fidgeting so much? And so he asked me, and I leant over, and I whispered, because, Grandad, I've got my swimming trunks on. It was apparently the memory was so severe in my head of this overwhelming heat that little Alex had clocked it and put his swimming trunks on and couldn't sit still on the plane. Okay? And I was clearly very proud that I'd thought of this. Ultimately, as we can all probably guess, it was probably Mum's idea, but still, it was just the moment that memory of needing that relief in the pool was really strong. Sometimes I think we can identify that life can sometimes feel like this: hot, stressed, overwhelming, a bit dehydrated, sometimes even a bit lifeless on the extreme. When we feel like this, we can look for our, ooh, the relief, swimming pool moments and solutions. But my question is, where do we go for that relief or satisfaction or restoration? How do we go from life feeling parched and dry to overflowing with abundant life? You've got to get the title right when you say it, really. We're in the midst of a year-long series here at Leeds Vineyard, going through the Gospel of John and looking at the theme of abundant life. And today we're picking up the story in John chapter 7. Jesus has just traveled to Jerusalem. He's gone down in secret to attend the Festival of Tabernacles. No doubt feeling warm and overwhelmed in the Israeli heat like I was. He had to travel in secret because Jesus wasn't on the best terms with the leaders in Jerusalem. Last time he was there, he'd healed a lame man on the Sabbath, and when he explained why, he wasn't very popular. If you don't know the story, it's worth checking out. So after laying low for the first half of the week, Jesus goes to the temple and starts teaching, like many of the other rabbis. And he causes a bit of a stir as people start to debate who he is. Who is this great teacher? So if you have your Bibles or your devices, we're in John chapter 7. We're going to pick up the story at the back end of the festival. If you keep your finger in John 7, we'll be coming back. So it's John 7, 37 to 38. Let's have a look at what happens with Jesus. So on the last and greatest day of the Festival of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Now, I'm no expert on the Jewish festival of tabernacles or festival of dwellings, but after a bit of digging, I found out that it is one of seven festivals given to Israel at Mount Sinai in the book of Leviticus, and the practice continues to this day. God commands the Israelites to live in temporary dwellings or tents for 7 days. And it serves as a reminder for the Israelites of the days that they were walking through the desert from Egypt, and they lived in tents, and God provided all that they needed. So at the peak of the festival, during what's known as the water libation ceremony, or the drink offering, the temple priest would gather a pitcher of water and pour it out onto the altar of the temple. And this pouring out of the water expressed Israel's hope for future rains to produce an abundant harvest in the land, without which there would be drought, famine, and just disaster, really. But it wasn't just a prayer for rain, it was also a spiritual one. Oppressed and abused by the Romans, Israel was crying out at the time of Jesus for God to change things. There was a prayer for water, but also for God to pour out his spirit amongst his people. And so, it's at this pinnacle moment on the last day of the festival that is the backdrop to Jesus as he stands and declares, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." "Are you thirsty?" Jesus asks. But Jesus is speaking about more than just needing a drink. What is this living water that Jesus is talking about? The theme of living water, or the water of life, can be seen throughout the full library of scripture across the Bible. If you're interested, the Bible Project do a great video that traces this theme. It's a great starting place if you're interested. For me, one of the best depictions of the living water Jesus speaks about is found in Ezekiel 47. Here, God gives the prophet Ezekiel a vision. And it's a vision of a river which flows from the temple out into the surrounding desert, getting deeper and deeper and deeper as it goes. And fruit trees spring up and grow on the banks. It's teeming with fish and just life all around it. And it even flows across the Judean desert to the nearby Dead Sea. And as it empties out into the Dead Sea, the salty water of the Dead Sea, the water is transformed to fresh water, bringing life to the one of the most uninhabitable places on the planet. Ezekiel sees this river with its source coming from God, from his presence, from the temple, flow out across barren wastelands of the desert that look like this, and transforms even places of death to life. This is God being the source of abundant life 101, I think. So back to John. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." At the very temple in Ezekiel's vision, Jesus, God incarnate, God himself, stands up and declares that he is the source of life, and that same life-giving water will flow from within his followers out into the world. Like, what a statement to just stand up and declare that in the midst of this festival. Like, the truth of the power of God's spirit in work in our lives is just incredible. And I think the readers of the Gospel of John will be particularly familiar with these words of Jesus, of these living water. If you sit and read, you can do it later on. From John 1, in the beginning was the Word, we looked at that a little while, and go through the stories we've been going through as a church. Just a few chapters earlier, we'll read, well, what happens when someone truly hears these words of Jesus and takes them to heart. In John 4, if you skip back a couple of pages on your device or Bible, Jesus has an encounter with a Samaritan woman who is encouraged to receive this living water Jesus talks about. So it's John 4, 7 to 15. It's also on the screen, I think. If you can find it, excellent. Thanks, Jamie. Let's find out what happens. "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews don't associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." After this, if you know the story, this downtrodden woman is transformed, and through her testimony, many in the nearby town meet and believe in Jesus. In Jesus, her thirst for acceptance and belonging is met, and she's radically transformed. You know, she arrives at the well, physically hot and thirsty, but also alone and an outcast. After meeting Jesus, she leaves believing she's known, loved, and expected. When we encounter Jesus and accept the truth of who he is and who he has made us to be, we are radically transformed. In the summer before I came to university in Leeds, almost knocked over the counter, I remember praying for a group of friends to have once I arrived. It's a big step, leaving the family home, and I really wanted friends, specifically I remember praying, this friends that would notice or care whether I missed a day of school or not. A people that I could belong to. And by the grace of God, that's exactly what I found. It's a great story, and that friendship group was such a gift and still is to this day. But even when I was surrounded by accepting and caring friends, I still felt this unmet need of belonging. I needed to be wanted. I still cared greatly about how other people viewed me. And no matter what I did, or how good of a friend I was, how outgoing I was, how many extra events I served at church, how many more friends I'd made, that need never was really satisfied. It was actually through my small group at the time, what's now Leading in the Vineyard with Matt and Anne, through their resources, I realized that perhaps what was driving my behavior might not be my love for God or the love of others as much as I thought it was. Instead, I realized there was something in me that needed to prove myself. I wanted to be desired and admired. And sometimes that got in the way of what God wanted to do in me, what God wanted to do through me. And sometimes, most definitely, it hurt people around me because of my actions. I remember spending lots of times of prayer and worship just like crying out to God, returning to his presence, asking him to transform me and learning to truly accept the affections the Father has for me. You know, it's only really looking back now that I can see this pattern, but slowly and surely I can see in my decisions that I didn't feel the need to push myself out there so much, or the need to prove myself to people whose opinions really didn't need to hold the weight that I was giving them. I was less bothered about being desired or wanted by others because I'd begun to really understand who I was. Like, I was chosen, like known, loved, and expected, just like at the woman at the well. The spirit I'd been given had begun to transform me and gave me a satisfaction and joy about life that I think could only have come from really knowing who I am in God and his love for me. Like, the way I interact with people now is almost night and day than it was 6 years ago. And I think a lot of the reason is for the work of the Spirit inside me. So what is it that you are thirsting for? What do you long to have or be? Is it a feeling? Is it to be known and noticed like it was for me? To have a place to call home, a relationship, a job, for intimacy, a purpose, a friend, freedom from addiction? What is it for you? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, or you haven't ever encountered his Holy Spirit, or maybe you just feel distant from the Jesus that you know, let me ask you this. What if the belonging you've been searching for is met in the love of Jesus? What if the relationship and intimacy you've been longing for is met in the love of Jesus? What if the hope, what if the purpose you've been crying out for is found in the love of Jesus? You see, when we encounter Jesus and allow Holy Spirit to do his transforming work within us, in our very being, in our character, in our hearts, like we are renewed and transformed, filled with the Spirit and overflowing with life, like Jesus said. You see, my thirst started to change in his presence. I found myself thirsty for, not for the admiration of others, but for the things of the Lord wants. I longed to see people included, to see people encounter the presence of God, for people to feel known and loved by God and the community of faith that surrounds them. But that I needed to return to this well of the Spirit more often. Could I truly say that my heart was always for the lost, the least, and the lonely? Sometimes I think if we're honest, it can be more about ourselves than it should be. So can I encourage you right now, this week, to pause and take stock just for a minute. Are you thirsty for the things of the kingdom? Are you longing to see that river of life that we looked at flow out to the world and change things from death to life? And just as the psalmist says in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? I want to thirst after the things of the kingdom, and we need to cultivate this desire, Lee's Vineyard, letting the Spirit percolate into our being and transforming us from the inside out so we might be wellsprings of eternal life. When we bring ourselves to Jesus with our wants, with our needs, with our desires, we're not met with condemnation or apathy, but with affection and satisfaction. When we drink the water of his Spirit, we're transformed and springs of abundant life well up inside of us to the point of overflow. You know, so much so that as we go through the barren wastelands or rub shoulders with people just as we go about our life, this bubbles over and people encounter the life-giving love of God. And this is here for you now, today. Right now. You know that song that says, all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy. Come, Lord Jesus, come. For some of you, that belonging here is met today. And I encourage you to receive the Spirit and encounter Jesus' Spirit and presence here today. For some of you, we need a top up. We need to check ourselves, connect ourselves again with that stream of living water that flows out into the world. Why don't we just stand and we'll pray to close. Lord, I want to meet you right now. Let your Spirit come. Let your life-giving presence come. Where there is a need, would you come and meet it right now, Spirit, come. Would you fill us, transform us, renew us? I pray you reveal your deep affection for each and every one of us here today. Fill us to the point of overflow. Would we be vessels that leak your life everywhere we go? Let's just wait. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. If you're new to this, people are just holding their hands out as if they're receiving a gift, as just like an outward sign of their inward heart to receive from God in this moment. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord.
Just keep waiting on him. Just sense he's pouring out. Some of you are really thirsty, really, really thirsty. He wants to meet you in that place of thirst. Come, Holy Spirit. Just sense that he's moving deeply in some of you.
Yeah.
As you surrender again, as you trust again. I had the word hope this morning, that God wants to restore hope in people. The hope that Jesus will meet you. The hope that he is as good as he says he is. Come, Holy Spirit.
And I got a sense that God wants to restore just broken hearts. And I had a picture of just his just water just flowing just into you, but into your heart, and just bringing restoration to any broken hearts. So Holy Spirit, would you come?